News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Vodafone Business. With cybersecurity solutions from Vodafone, your business can hack off the hackers. See vodafone.ie/business.
You may hear the whir of engines outside because I'm down in Mondello here. And my guest this week in the executive chair is Roddy Green. He's the managing director here at Mondello Park. Roddy, lovely to be with you here today.
Yeah, thanks, Bobby, for coming down to us. And as you say, great that you're here on a day when you can hear engines in the background. I was saying earlier, if you're heading to a milking parlour, you might hear cows in the background.
All good. Now, Roddy, it all started for you back in Clondalkin. Not a million miles from here, I'm certainly on the right side of the city heading in. Tell us a little bit about your early years. I know your first job was as a lounge boy in Palmerston House, which, you know, those kind of jobs really blood us for later in life.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. This is when you say those jobs in terms of that real customer service piece. And back in the 80s, there wouldn't have been much in terms of manners from customers. You might have got a clip around the ear quicker than you'd get a tip, you know. Yeah. So, that was the first introduction to work. As you say, grew up in Clondalkin, working class family. Dad was a builder. Mom worked in the wonderful Frawley's department store in Thomas Street for many years.
Great business.
Yeah, so Mom was fabric and part and parcel at the front shop there. For a long time.
So off it was through DIT Tala, Griffith Business School. You did some training in accountancy, is that right?
Yeah, that's the profession. So I did a little bit of time in Tala, did business in Tala, and then Madonna did the professional exams in Griffith College for the ACCA. So that was the profession that I chose. Numbers was the game at that stage, you know.
And numbers brought you to your first job, which I think was in Tagish, is that right?
Yeah, no, Tagish was it was a little bit later, yeah, but it still was, there was a bit of counting involved in that, which is funny. I was later in my career, was in Chagas, and I used to tell the kids, it was so funny, at the end of the year, part of the stock taker, you used to have to go down to Moor Park and count cattle and calves, so that was an interesting part.
The joys of being an auditor. Yeah. So what was your first job post-college then?
I worked in Advanced Pit Stop, so they would have been a fast fit tyre business were based around Dublin, around the country really. They would have been part of the Continental Tyre Group, would have owned them at that stage. And that's where I did most of my kind of industry training. So I spent probably 5 years in Advanced Pit Stop at that stage.
And that was a fairly interesting business. Was it there? Did you have an interest in motorsport at that stage? Or was that to come later?
Came later, really, you know. Yeah, I kind of would have been like a lot of youngsters at that stage, would have had a passing interest. And if you mentioned Joey Dunlop or Colin McRae, I would have known who they were. But no, the motorsport piece came after. But Advance was the first kind of foray in the industry after.
And that was a kind of a concept or a franchise per se, whereby you just do tyres, exhausts, and it's formulaic in terms of the business. But it's about consistency, it's about standards, it's about, you know, doing a good job around auto mechanics.
Yeah, absolutely. Their business was built around that. They were actually the old Dunlop Ireland was the original business.
Okay.
And when they got into trouble, Continental came in and bought them for the paltry sum of £1, I think, at the time, and Dunlop got into trouble. But yeah, that for me gave me the framework in terms of understanding stock, understanding cash flow, working through kind of those metrics and those businesses where, you know, the stock moved fast and, you know, it was a real test bed of trying to understand how a balance sheet works and how a P&L worked. So it was great.
Cadence Design Systems, was that next?
Yeah, into Cadence, yeah. So I went from kind of the frying pan into the fire from Cadence, from Advanced Pit Stop into Cadence Design Systems. Cadence were a massive multinational company built around, they did software for design engineers. So they were US-based and then had their, like a lot of American companies, as we know now, have their base in Ireland. So I went from a real kind of domestic Irish-based company into the big world of American multinational. So it was certainly an eye-opener from moving from one to the other.
Yeah, and en route then to Mondello, I know you were with LM Developments. You were also with Outhouse. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it was kind of went from Cadence into LM Developments at the height of the boom back in the Celtic Tiger. So it seemed like a good idea to move into construction. Didn't last too long, but ended up in there for a period of time.
All of it blooded from those days.
Yeah, absolutely. So I moved from LM into Outhouse, which were the original Country Manor bricks, Butterley bricks, run by the O'Sullivan family. So I spent a bit of time with them. They had some branches around around the country in a couple of different businesses. So again, kind of broadening the scope in terms of what we were looking after three or four or five different companies within the group. So, but that kind of came through the end of the recession period of time, and worked through a lot of interesting parts of that business, which not the nice part of business, which is having to close businesses and group redundancy schemes and things like that. So, and again, with those type of things, it's like everything really, isn't it? It's like through adversity and tough times, you learn the hardest lessons, really, don't you?
Really, you know. And again, you know, there's always the human side to that, which is particularly difficult.
Absolutely, yeah. That was for me, in the end of that business, my time in that business, that was the hardest challenge, is to sit down with people who've given their life to a company and tell them that their time has come to an end. Yeah. I don't think there's not many things in college can prepare you for delivering that message, you know.
And then it was on to counting the cattle at Dagish.
On to counting sheep and cattle, yeah. An interesting thing to go into the public sector. I'd never worked in the public sector before. So, again, certainly an eye-opener. But as I said to you, the funny part of that was, you know, going to Moor Park and over to Athenry to count sheep and lambs and cattle.
So you're here now in Mondello 10 years, maybe 11 years. Tell us a little bit, how did you get this job?
Again, I came through the finance route. So I started in 2014 as the financial controller, and pretty quickly, probably after about 9 months or so, the guy who was in the seat before me, John Morris, he was after being in the business a long time and decided that he wanted a fresh challenge. And I was lucky enough at that stage then that the Bahrain family, Martin Bahrain, put his trust in me at that stage and said we'll give this young fella a shot at the business, which I think from everybody's perspective was a little bit of a big leap. I had no experience in motorsport. I have a lot of experience across different industries, but motorsport in itself is a completely different industry, sport. So you're learning everything from the start up. You're learning all about the sport, the challenges attached to the sport, and then the wider business of Mondello. So
what strikes me about here is, you know, you've got a fantastic venue, but it's not open every day in terms of, you know, events. It's not open, big events. So you've got to really sweat the asset. So you've got to probably be quite creative about organising different revenue streams, because I'd say the fixed costs here are pretty high.
Yeah, absolutely. We do have a big overhead, you know, and I suppose people wouldn't realise that about the business either. Like, we have 22 full-time staff, so there's a lot of people on the books in terms of small to medium-sized business. Certainly, over the last couple of years, we've tried to figure out kind of where the different revenue streams can contribute. And the big thing, I suppose, is there's no point in having revenue for revenue's sake if it's not profitable, you know, and that's a key driver for us. We have a really good finance team in-house who really drill the numbers in terms of what's contributing, what's high margin, and where we are. And as you say, you know, we're open more or less 364 days of the year. We're open on the day after Stevens' Day. We're out for a rally sprint. So that's something that people don't realise about the business, that there is so much ongoing, you know.
So is a lot of your work then drawn through clubs and all that sort? So it's probably only one part of the business, but in order that there, you know, there's various events around the country that happen at various stages, but the finals of them might happen here.
Well, most of the sport is concentrated here, so it's very tricky in the sense, like, so from a rally perspective, it's a different branch of the sport. We're circuit racing, so we're the only permanent FIA international accredited motorsport venue in the country. So circuit racing happens here, and here it's the
home. So the other arms then to the business, the other, I suppose, revenue streams, there's obviously the corporate world where you can come down here and a management team can all race cars. And is that a big component of the business?
Certainly, yeah. From April to October, the Monday to Friday business for us is concentrated on the corporate side.
Yeah.
And again, you say for us, it's you know, so such a unique venue that we're able to pitch this to companies, that you can bring your clients here, you can bring your customers here in such a unique setting that they can drive a high performance car, and you can take them through various programs through our corporate suite. So you get the opportunity then to either do a product presentation or a client presentation. So, and what we find with that is we always find the take up on people coming to Mondello Park. So if you're generally a company and you're inviting people to come to a hotel to do a presentation, your take up might be, you might struggle to drag them along a little bit depending on what you're trying to present. But once we have that, the companies have that you can come here, you can drive a high performance car, you can enjoy your afternoon, and plus then from our client side, they get the benefit then of getting that high turnout rate.
So how many events are there per year then that the public come to, as in big days?
Big days, we've six large scale events. So they range from drift events to historic motorsport to all it and everything in between. And attendance rates can be from 5,000 to 15,000, sort of kind of that bracket. Our biggest days would be a modified car show in early in the year that's coupled with a drift event, and there's 15,000 attendees on the Sunday. So, and it kind of varies in between that. So yeah, it's busy from that perspective.
Now we've an event coming up on the 16th and 17th of August, which isn't too far away, the Carol Nash Historic Festival. You wanted to tell us about that?
Yeah, I think from our perspective, this is the event on the calendar that we, you know, it's everything about us as a team here in Modello Park, and it celebrates historic motorsport, which I think from everybody's perspective, we all understand the history and the heritage that that Irish people have in motorsport. And that's, for us, it's kind of celebrating that key legacy in terms of motorsport. Particularly this year, from the events perspective, we've Eddie Jordan, who sadly passed away this year, who I think everybody knows. Yeah, Eddie's
doing a special tribute to Eddie, are you?
Yeah, on Saturday the 16th is a special tribute to Eddie and his legacy. So we've lots built around that. So Eddie's family are coming down to join us on the day. And then we have some of his key contemporaries. We have Martin Donnelly, John Watson, Derek Daly and David Kennedy, who no doubt will have amazing stories about Eddie. Some of the stories that probably couldn't be broadcast, I'd imagine. So they're going to do a nice high stool discussion around lunchtime about Eddie and their interaction with him over their careers, right, which would be amazing.
Tell me about the young lad Alex Dunn and his, I suppose, meteoric rise now to, I think he's at F2 now, but the success that he's having now, does that indirectly help you here?
Absolutely, yeah. And it, if you think about going back to the Jordan days in the 90s, you know, everybody was into motorsport and F1 because it was that Irish connection, and we're 100% seeing that now with Alex. He's a great kid. He's 19 years of age. He's on the cusp of F1. You know, I think everybody has their fingers and toes crossed for him that he gets a seat in F1, and he's such a great kid. And yeah, that's, you can see that straight away kind of transitioning into people interested in motorsport and people, you know, picking up the phone. Alex is with us over the weekend, and the same, he'll do an interview on the Sunday for us, which would be great. Yeah. And we've so many phone calls of people ringing up saying, what time is Alex doing his talk at, you know? So yeah, absolutely. And you can see it's similar to darts when you have Luke Littler from a darts perspective, and suddenly everybody was interested in darts, you know? Yeah. And definitely from an Irish point of view, you know, we'd be super proud of Alex and, you know, with his dad and all the work that they've done to get to that level is just incredible, and certainly that'll filter down. You know, we want to see the next generation of young Alex Dunns, both boys and girls, getting interested in motorsport because of him, you know. So it'd be amazing.
Well, look, Roddy Green, managing director of Mondello Park, it's great to come down here today. You can hear the purr of those engines in the background. Thanks for chatting to me, and good luck with your event, and indeed good luck with Mondello in the future.
Super, thanks a million, Bobby.
News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Vodafone Business. With cybersecurity solutions from Vodafone, your business can hack off the hackers. See vodafone.ie/business.